This podcast brought to you by Hope 103.2.
I'm speaking with Dr. Ian Provan, who is a Professor of Biblical Studies at Regent College in Vancouver in Canada, who's out visiting Australia. We're talking about the Old Testament. The Old Testament is written in a very patriarchal society, isn't it? In these stories we read that women are barely more than property. In what sense, then, could reading the Old Testament be good news for a modern woman?
Well, that's a really good and important question in our present contemporary moment, and I think it does require, again, very careful handling. Again, I want to begin at the beginning, though. I mean, we have to reckon seriously with the fact that the book of Genesis begins by telling us that human beings, male and female, are made in the image of God. Any story that begins by telling you that is surely making a very significant statement, not only about the value of every single human person, but the fact it's every single human person, both male and female. So again, I think part of the problem here is not contextualizing some of the other material correctly within the story.
As the biblical story unfolds, presumably the reporting of things doesn't necessarily signify approval of. Would that be fair to say?
That's right. And what we said a moment ago about the shadow side of people comes into play here. I think it's one of the mistakes people sometimes make to think that because we have a holy book here, everyone in it has to be, you know, a paradigm for our imitation. The Bible itself does not believe that for one moment. And so when you're reading stories of what people are doing to each other or the way they're treating each other or regarding each other, you have to be really careful moving from that description of a story to some kind of principled ethical stance on the whole kind of issue.
As if that if one would follow from the other. I mean, one story is that's commonly brought out, and you can see why, is the story of Jephthah, right?
Jephthah is one of the judges. He's one of the early leaders of Israel, and he makes a very foolish vow to God that if he wins this battle, that he'll sacrifice whichever one of his possessions meets him when he comes back from battle. And of course, in that cultural context, his daughter is regarded as one of his possessions. She runs out, and so she, you know, ends up being the sacrifice. But yeah, again, this question of context is interesting. The book of Judges really presents a society that's spiraling downwards. And as you go through the Judges, you're getting to more and more questionable characters in this story. And Samson comes after Jephthah. And, you know, Samson is a very strange guy, right? So very strange guy, yeah. So Jephthah is already, you're reading Jephthah in that frame of reference. It's obviously not presented to us as a smart thing that he does. Jewish tradition later blames Jephthah mightily, you know, for this. And I think the reader is left asking things like, well, okay, you made a vow to God. It was a dumb vow. Why didn't you just break it and take the consequences, you know? So again, you can't move in a straight line from description to prescription. That's one neat little way of saying it, from what's described to what people ought to do. And Jephthah is not held up as a paradigm for imitation in this bit of idiocy that he engages in.
So far from, yeah, as you say, a story that reflects something that God would be, you know, approving of, it shows he's deeply flawed character in every sense, both in the vow that he makes and then the way that he follows it through.
Absolutely. I mean, God doesn't actually show up at that bit in the story, and we don't hear what God thinks about this or anything like it. And I think you, as a reader of a story, you have to notice the absences as well as what's being said.
You just come back to the beginning. You said, you know, in Genesis we get this very important description at the beginning that all people, men and women, it's a radical idea at the time, made in the image of God. Now, you've also written that the vision of Genesis of the relationship between men and women is one of radical mutuality. That hasn't been the experience of women throughout the church's history, though, has it?
No, it hasn't. I don't see it as part of my job, really, to defend the history of the church in all respects. That's also a story of flawed people not always getting it right. I mean, I think, you know, personally, I think Christians have done an awful lot of good in the world and have changed the world much for the better. I don't think we fully understand any longer or remember culturally the ways in which that's the case. But no, I don't have a brief to defend every way in which Christians have behaved, and I certainly don't think the way in which women have been treated in the church has has always reflected these Genesis ideas.
Thanks for listening. Start your day with Life Words. Subscribe to Hope 1032's free daily email devotional at hope1032.com.au.